singing.
Ahoy, Vachon. How's the French say, Vachon? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
That was the voice of Brian Brown, creator of the Brown Briefly, which still carries his name in his honor. Although Brian left us over 2 years ago, we try to preserve Brian's roundtable format by adhering to his concept that less is more, more or less. And I think Brian would have been very pleased with the sense that the American Pie was singing squawk, 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 whatever Seagull's song is. I'm sure he would be very appropriate.
Had to bring that right in at the end. Sorry, guys.
It's live radio. That's the advantage we have, right?
Well, we're running out of time. You know, I had to get us on there. So, yeah.
And it may be the new American song.
Right? There you go.
So today, Truman O'Brien is guiding us sometimes
successfully
from the Voice of Vachon Gene Bosch broadcast studio in bustling and bodacious downtown Vachon. And joining Truman is his partner, Craig Bellis, partner in their airplane. Let me clarify that.
I think I'm going to change it to pal. You know, it has a little
change it to pal.
Yeah, it has a little better connotation.
And I'm Bruce Holman, zooming in from my home on Vachon Island. And joining us today and zooming in from their respective homes are Susan McCabe and Charlotte Tyken from the Vachon Repertoire Theater. So before we get into small talk and talk with Susan and Charlotte a bit, let's sort of just review what's gone on with everybody on Vachon. What's happening in your world, Susan?
The Vachon Theater Fest, our second annual, is pretty much where I'm living for the rest of the next 2 weeks. And it's pretty exciting.
Oh, great. Well, we'll come back and talk more about that. So how was your festival?
Oh, it was great. I managed to spend a lot of time in the whole Vachon Project booth, where we surveyed people as to their interests in climate crisis issues. And had lots of great conversations. Did a lot of looking into the microscope at living plankton. Anyway, it was great. And then I spent a little time at the Vachon Repertory Theater booth as well, with Charlotte and John Whalen and other folks who came by to find out about what's going on in the next 2 weeks.
Great. Thanks, Susan. And Charlotte has joined us. Charlotte, we're just sort of reviewing what's going on in your world on Vachon, and what have you been doing over the past few weeks or few months, other than the Repertoire Theater Fest that we'll come back to and talk about more time. And you may have not been doing anything, right?
Well, I had a week of COVID, which was loads of fun, but it wasn't as bad. For me, it was really like having a really bad cold. Thank God. No fever, no anything, just a bad cold. And 7 days after I had it, I tested negative. So I'm like, okay, this is okay. So I got through that. And other than that, I've been, you know, playing theater with everybody everywhere. We had a great time at the Strawberry Festival. I have to say, this was like one of my favorite Straw Fests. It was very not too crowded, so that you weren't like overwhelmed. The weather was perfect. I saw people that I hadn't seen since before COVID. I was like, oh my God, you're here and you're alive. And you know, it was just so neat to run into all these people that I just hadn't seen. And it felt very local. Mm-hmm. And from what I can tell, everybody was doing great. All the Safa and Iyad, the Syrians, were right down the, like, two doors down from me, and they ran out of food on Saturday. I heard a rumor on Sunday morning that the strawberry shortcakes were about to run out of strawberry shortcakes. So I ran down there to get one. I mean, I just think everybody had a really great time, and it was just very friendly, and it felt very island like and not overwhelming.
Yeah, I have to agree. And I think this was the best Strawberry Festival parade we've had in years.
It was fantastic.
Funky. Yeah. It was uniquely Vashon. It was really fun.
I love the Marine Band was my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
And they were great. And then of course the ending with the Thriftway grocery cart brigade was incredible.
Great.
So it was great. It was a wonderful, wonderful weekend, and it just felt very right. And I congratulate the chamber for doing a fantastic job. I mean, they really did.
Great. Thanks, Charlotte. And that's a perfect segue into Truman. You and Craig were sort of broadcasting the parade. So, Craig, how was your festival?
And my festival was fabulous. I mean, obviously the festival's in sort of a transitionary phase. You know, nobody knew what was going to happen with COVID when they started planning it. The people who've been critical of the festival, I always say, did you offer any suggestions back a few months ago? No, I didn't. Okay, well, then I'm not listening to you anymore.
That's right.
I had a great time from Troy's Loose Change at the very beginning of the festival to Lauren Sinner and the Saints at the very end of the festival, and all of the great music in between.
You're right, Craig. I thought the music was fantastic. Pete and Allison just kind of outdid themselves this year.
Yeah.
I was fortunate enough that my booth was right across from the main stage, and so I got to hear everything. And, I mean, it was incredible.
Yeah, between the Sugar Shack and Snapdragon and the main stage, it was tremendous. I had a wonderful time. Right now I'm sort of holding down the home fort. My wife is off on one of her horse trips up into the Pusaten Wilderness with a bunch of women and individuals she brought with her from the island, and I'm sure they're having a high old time up there right now. Beautiful weather. Cold at night, but nice. And now I'm about to get schooled in how to interview people from the expert Susan McCabe, who used to be, we used to be co-hosts of the Morning Scramble for a couple of years. It's good to see you again, Susan.
Same here. I really loved having you as my co-host on the Morning Scramble. It was funny. It was deep.
Deep. You weren't just speaking about his voice either, right?
Yeah, deep, no, he's really got a good intellect. He may hide it well, but he really does.
I work on hiding it, I guess. I'm successful.
I never noticed that you were working at that. It's, sorry.
And humility. I'm working on hiding my humility as well.
Yeah.
So, Truman, tell us about the parade. And you and Craig were the MCs, sort of narrating the parade.
Yeah,
right?
You know, every year, well, actually, I will say that this year we had more information than we've ever had. And thank you, by the way, Bruce, for your historical thing that you gave us about the names and changes and what years they had festival and which years they didn't. That was fascinating. Of course, I, as you all know, I have a little back issue that's kind of gotten me down, and I hobbled my way up to the stage and was able to MC, and then I hobbled my way back home. So I kind of missed the festival this year, I'm sorry to say, but we really had a great time during the parade, and the information the chamber finally came through and gave us some great information the day before.
Yeah, actually the day before. Yeah. And like we said, the when we didn't know the answers, we just made some good stuff up.
We just made it up, yeah. People didn't notice, you know, no. And Susan, it was great seeing you in the parade and actually getting a mic to you at one point.
Really fun.
I did get one criticism, though, from my daughter. She said, "Dad, when you ask somebody a question in the parade, you just go, oh, okay, cool, and you don't repeat the answer, so nobody knows what they said." I went, oh, yeah. I guess I should be better about that. But anyway, I got some good, healthy critique. So
good.
Your kids will do that for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you guys. I mean, it was a very, I thought it was a very interesting festival. I mean, it really, going back to the roots of what the festival really was, went back in the early part of the 20th century, and even post-World War II, it was all about the island. It was much less about sort of people coming over to the island and really a celebration of the island for islanders. And this one was much more a reflection of that. And I think everybody I've talked to, they enjoyed this sort of the fact that they didn't have to fight through the curly fries and the sunglass booths and all those things. And all the booths were Vashon related. And so very, very special. And Charlotte, you're right. Chamber deserves quite a kudo for what they pulled off this year. Susan.
You know, I'd be curious to know that the festival used to be a substantial portion of the income for the chamber's budget. I'd be curious to know, number one, whether they got what they needed financially from this particular festival. And number two, whether the fact that it was uniquely Vashon may have attracted more people from off island, not more than in the past. But I'm wondering, because we had competition from a festival in West Seattle and one in Ballard and concerts in Marymore Park. So people had lots of options. I'm really curious, because I did see strangers in town.
Oh, yeah.
I had a number of off-island people come up to the booth, and I talked to a lot of off-island people. But they were there for particular reasons. I mean, some people I talked to were there because they had a friend that was performing, and they went to see them, or they knew somebody on the island and they were there visiting. I mean, I didn't talk to many people who were there just because of the festival. They were there for different reasons. But I mean, I talked to people from Canada and Oklahoma and, you know, all over. It was really cool. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. Craig, you had a comment?
I just was going to say anecdotally, I was able to be in the car parade on Sunday, both of which, by the way, are available on the Voice of Vashon website to watch the videos of them. But we had more off-island people attending the car parade in terms of participants than I've ever seen in the past. So there were some more people who were drawn from off-island that came for the festival.
And I only got to see the video, but boy, oh boy, there were some beautiful cars.
There were some of the nicest cars. Even if you're not a motorhead, the design of some of these cars and the workmanship in them are just unbelievable.
Yeah, all I could think of was how much gas money was being spent.
Yeah, that is always an issue. There were a number of individuals there who had these huge, expensive car builds, who were planning on building a new one with Tesla batteries. So there's a move in that direction.
To
put Teslas in the old antique cars. Uh-huh. I mean, Tesla batteries in the old antique cars.
Yeah. Well, thanks. So today is an interesting day because it's the day in 1848, 174 years ago, that the Seneca Falls Convention opened and launched the American suffrage movement that ultimately gained women the right to vote. The Declaration of Sentiments that came out of the Seneca Falls Convention was based on the Declaration of Independence. And let me just read the opening to it, because I think it's fascinating. It read, "When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one portion of the family of man to assume among the people of the earth a position different from that which they have hitherto occupied, but one to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes that impel them to such course." Goes on, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men and women are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that to secure these rights, governments are instituted, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed," something we can take into account today. And then the Declaration goes on and lists a number of reasons, and two of the most prominent were, first, these are sort of the indictment of of males for not bringing women into full participation. They said the history of mankind is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations on the part of man toward women, having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over her. Prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. And they say, he has never permitted her to exercise her unalienable right to the elective franchise. He has compelled her to submit to laws in the formation of which she has no voice. And the list, of course, goes on. So an auspicious day. And today is also National Daiquiri Day.
So, of course.
We're celebrating. So, and both of which I think are a great segue into our small talk segment with Susan and Charlotte. So, Charlotte, let's start with you and tell us a bit about yourself, your theater background, and what the Vashon Repertoire Theater is all about.
My theater, you don't want to hear about my theater background. That will take way too long. I started doing, I'll just tell you this story. Okay, when I was 7 years old, I was born and raised in Charleston, South Carolina. Okay, that's my hometown. And when I was growing up, I had a slight lisp. I couldn't say my S's correctly. And so my parents decided, instead of putting me into going to a doctor and having them try to fix it, they decided to send me to drama class. And so there was a wonderful, wonderful theater for young people in Charleston that was run by these two women, Dorothy, Donna, and Kit Lyons, who I still remember to this day, although they've gone on to other worlds. But they talked to them and they said, do you think you can help her with her lisp and get her S's to say her S's correctly? And they said, yeah, we think we can do that. So they put me into drama class so that I could learn to say my S's correctly. Well, little did they know the biggest mistake of their lives, because I fell in love with it. And I was like, that was what I wanted to do with my life. And so from the age of 7 on, I knew that this was it. I was hooked. All because my parents were trying to get me to say my S's correctly. So that's what happened. And I went to college and majored in theater, even though my parents sat me down and said, are you sure? And I was like, yes, I'll be fine. Don't worry. I did a graduate work and have been working in the theater literally all of my life.
Wow.
And everything from stage management to production management to, I've never been on the stage. I acted in college and learned very quickly that I really wasn't very good at it. And also, I don't take rejection well. And if you are an actor, boy, you got to be fine with rejection. Yeah. And so I decided that I wanted to go do that. So I've done everything except that. And it's been a great, incredible life. I've traveled all over the world and I've worked in lots of great places all over this country. And it's been really great.
It's so, a great story of unintended consequences.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't think they had any clue that was what was going to happen. You know, they just wanted me to get my S is right.
Tell me a bit about Vashon Repertoire Theater. How did it come about? Why did it come about? What's the vision for it?
It's all because of COVID. I just want to say that. I was sitting at home during the 2 years of COVID, not working because no theaters were open. Everybody was closed and I didn't have anything to do. And so I was like, well, what am I going to do? Oh, I know. I'll start a theater company. I'm crazy. So, but my, I really thought Vashon, there are so many talented people who live on this island who have been working in theater for a long, long time and who have either chosen not to do it because they don't want to do the Seattle commute anymore, or they are doing it, but just a little bit. And I just thought, you know, this is ridiculous that we have all these talented people and they're not doing anything. So we started doing, so I pulled everybody together and we started doing streaming work online during COVID, which was really fun. And then we just kind of moved into doing bigger and bigger and more things. And then last summer I thought, well, let's try to get people to come outside and see outside performances because nobody wants to go indoors because of COVID. And over in Seattle, Seattle Shakespeare and other theaters do outdoor Shakespeare. all over parks all over Seattle. And I thought, why can't we have our own Shakespeare and do it here? So, and we've got all these great people. I mean, Dar Kennan lives here on the island. He has worked at Seattle Rep. He's an incredible actor and director, and he knows Shakespeare. And so Dar agreed to direct The Tempest last summer, and now he's doing Much Ado About Nothing, and people love it.
I have to tell you, Charlotte, the Tempest was just beyond great. The venue, the sound, everything was absolutely perfect. I just thoroughly enjoyed it. And I've seen The Tempest, you know, several times over the years, but it was really, really special out there where you guys did it.
Yeah. And everything just came together. I went to Open Space. I said, look at this beautiful place where we could do theater. David and Janet were like, yeah, this is great. We pulled everybody together. Most of the people that are in the shows are on island people. There are only like, you know, maybe a handful of people that come from off island. It's just incredible. And even the people that come from off island, like Max Sarkowski, who lives in West Seattle, he was born and raised here. So, you know, he's an islander. He just doesn't happen to live here anymore. His mom still lives here. So Max is doing the set design and the sound for Much Ado, and the set is gorgeous. It is incredible. And it's just really, we come together, we sit there, we watch Shakespeare, people have fun. We had like 2,000 people show up last summer, which I was shocked. This summer, we're going to have a couple of food trucks there so that people can eat if they want to. And we're doing two outdoor performances, Much Ado, and this wonderful thing that Janet McAlpin and Elizabeth Klobe put together called 5-Minute Wonders, which what they've done is they've curated all these different acts to come and do like 5 minutes of something. And it could be anything from juggling to fire eating to swinging on a swing. I mean, I don't know, you know, it's the UMO ensemble. It could be anything. So it's going to be really fun to see what these different people from all over the Northwest come and present for 5 minutes.
It's going to be
a fabulous poet.
Outdoor as well.
Yeah, it's outdoor as well. So those are the two outdoor performances. And then inside, in the black box at Open Space, this wonderful actor named Randy Nugent, who I've known for a long time, is coming to do a one-person show about Pete Seeger, which is absolutely brilliant. I mean, he literally becomes Pete Seeger. And so he's going to be here for the 2 weekends to do his show about Pete Seeger, which I think everybody's going to love because we're all old hippies who live here on the island. I did have to explain to a couple of the young people that are working in the show who Pete Seeger was.
Not Bob Seeger, Pete Seeger.
Pete Seeger, yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I said, you go look him up. You need to know who Pete Seeger is.
Oh, yeah.
So that's happening. And then over in at the VCA, we're doing a brand new, it's basically an upscaled reading of a brand new play by Alan Becker, who also lives here on the island. I don't know whether you know the Beckers. I'm sure you do, Bruce, that his parents were one of the first editors of The Beachcomber.
Right. Yeah.
And so they've been around for a long time. Right. And Alan lives here, and he's written this really wonderful musical about a young man coming of age and bucking the small town system that he's been raised in. And it's called Somewhere Between, and it's going to be at the Vashon Center for the Arts. And then we're also doing a series of new play readings at Snapdragon, like we did last year, that Trista Baldwin is curating, that will be play readings from different artists all over the area. So it's a lot.
That's fantastic.
I think it's going to be fun.
I was going to say.
So what do you do in your spare time?
Yeah, exactly.
I try to sleep.
Yeah.
Sleep is important.
Truman.
Just a quick question, Charlotte. There's so much. Is there some place where we can look this up? I mean, do you have an online presence or something?
Yes. We have a fabulous website, thanks to Christine Doms and Susan McCabe, who have helped put all of this together. And really, Susan is my right arm. I mean, she's done so much to make all of this happen. She's doing all the publicity and promotion and just really helping to put it all together. Our website is vashonrepertorytheater.org. And it's theater, T-H-E-A-T-R-E, VashonRepertoryTheater.org. Also, there's brochures that are around town, and that you will see more of those that will be out and about. And tickets are from $15 to $30. I really tried to keep ticket prices at a reasonable rate so that people can come see the shows. But I also am telling people that if you cannot afford a ticket, just come up to the box office and say, I want to do Pay What You Will, and we'll take it. Because I don't want to keep somebody from coming to see a show just because they don't have the money.
Great. That's great, Charlotte. Oh. I love the fact that you sort of took the old Vashon Theater spelling of theater and has kept that going. It's a sort of an island tradition. Let me switch over to Susan. Susan, you want to jump in?
Charlotte's done a pretty thorough explanation of the theater fest that's coming up this weekend and next, but I would like to add praise to Charlotte for doing this the way she's gone about it, because we all know that Vashon is an island of artists, an island that supports the arts, that dwells among the arts. And the way to keep the arts alive is to keep the artists alive. And with that in mind, Charlotte has created a professional theater company in Vashon Repertory Theater. We pay everybody. The bulk of money that Vashon Rep spends is spent on paying people, from the actors through the tech people, through the directors. Everybody gets paid. Maybe not a lot, but they get paid because we believe that that's how we keep the arts alive. So I want to encourage people to go to the Vashon Rep website and donate, because it takes money to run this. Charlotte's been knocking herself out to raise money. We've been fortunate to get a small grant from For Culture and a couple other places, but we want to keep theater alive and thriving here on Vashon Island. And that's what Vashon Repertory Theater is about.
I just pulled up the website, and congratulations to your web designer, because it is brilliant. It's really a lovely website.
Christine Doms.
Yeah, Christine just did a fabulous job. And you had something to do with that too, Susan?
Yes, she did. Yeah. She had everything to do with it.
Yeah, really nice. Nicely done.
Thank you.
So, Susan, maybe go into a little bit more about Theater Fest as a specific thing, and how that's going to happen, and how, I mean, there's all these other things going on as well, but what is Theater Fest itself?
Well, it's a celebration of the art of theater, and it's got something for everybody in our schedule for the weekends of July 21st to 25th and 28th to 31st. Somewhere between, this new musical is really exciting, and I have to say the music is gorgeous. If you're a musical theater advocate or a devotee, you're going to love this musical. And again, it's professional. Alan has brought professional musicians from the Fifth Avenue Theater. So it's not that there's anything.
And Seattle Rep. These are incredible.
And great voices. Great voices. That's a play that just about anybody is going to enjoy. Much Ado About Nothing is a Shakespearean comedy. The kids are going to love it. The adults are going to love it. 5-Minute Wonders are primarily physical acts. And so there's clowns, there's juggling, there's fight scenes, fake fight scenes. And plays in a snap happen at Snapdragon at 3:00 in the afternoon, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of each weekend. And you can go hear a reading performed by professional actors, learn about a brand new piece of theater in development, have your say about it, give the playwright some feedback, and still make another show.
Wow.
So it's fun. It's just
The idea behind it for me was that to give people an opportunity to see a wide variety of things. They could come for the weekend and see 3 or 4 shows over the weekend, or you could just come for the day and see 2 or 3 shows. And that was the whole idea behind it. And I think it also just really celebrates all of the variety of performing venues that we have on the island. And I've always thought it would be really neat to have an opportunity to show off Open Space and the VCA and Snapdragon or other places where we perform, so that people can see all of the great facilities that we have, which I think is really unique.
Yeah, you know, I think part of the bottom line is that Vashon's only real economy is the arts. That's what we've got to offer people. Let's bring people to the island to support the arts, to support the Vashon economy. We hope that people who come to the theater fest are going to patronize our restaurants and our gift shops. And let's keep Vashon alive.
So I just noticed, looking on Friday the 22nd, you could start at 3 o'clock, go to Plays in a Snap, Snapdragon, and then at 5 o'clock, you can go to 5-Minute Wonders. And then at 6 o'clock, you can see, no, sorry, 6 o'clock, you see 5-Minute Wonders. And then at 7:30, you get to see Seeger. So you can do those three things in one day. Fabulous. That's great.
That's the plan.
Yeah, that is
fantastic. And we give you time in between to go get food if you want.
Sure.
Right. So, that's incredible.
I also want to do a shout out to Pam Ingalls, my good friend, who painted the poster for us this year. This is a real tree. This tree is on Dilworth Loop. And Pam and I were walking around Dilworth Loop one day, and I saw the tree with the chairs hanging off of it. And I was like, Pam, that's the perfect thing. Because people can go and they can pick their seats off the chair. And it turns out that off the tree, and it turns out that the tree and the chair, and the cherry tree, as Pam calls it, the cherry tree, belongs to a guy named Mark. And when he saw the poster, he kind of went nuts. He said, "You painted my tree." I was like, "Well, yeah." So it's really cool. And just a plug, this poster will be for sale in our merchandise booth at Open Space. If you want to buy it, it's really quite lovely.
Great. Yeah. Well, the interconnectedness of a small island, it all works together. So let me step back just a minute. I mean, we live in crazy times. I mean, there's all kinds of things going on, you know, the war in Europe, the pandemic, you know, autocracies, the attack on truth, you know, democracies at risk. You know, we have an activist court, right-wing court. I mean, there's just lots and lots going on. What does theater have to do with that?
Well, my answer, Susan.
Yeah, well, you know, I was chewing on the inside of my cheek when you were talking about this being the day of suffrage, and it's so glad you gave me an opportunity to stop chewing and actually spew out my political views. But number one, I would like you to send the stuff you read about suffrage to our Supreme Court.
Yeah.
What does theater have to do with all this? Theater, in so many ways, can tell us about life, justice, injustice, what it is and what we hope life can be, from the good, the bad, and through the ugly, and the beautiful. I know that Charlotte's mission has been to create theater that is relevant to our times. And I think that particularly Somewhere Between is relevant to our times right now. And a number of the play readings that will happen at Plays in a Snap at Snapdragon are relevant to our times, particularly Trista Baldwin's play called Beetle, which is, as she describes it, I think, a love letter to reproductive health of women and all that they've suffered. I mean, to my mind, the whole idea of abortion and the courts having anything to say about women's bodies shouldn't even be a discussion. And I've wondered often, when was it that women got so scary that they have to be squashed? There shouldn't even be a discussion about healthcare, women's bodies. They belong to us, not to the men, not to the Supreme Court, and not to the world. So thank you for allowing me to say that.
One of the things I think about theater is that it can shine a light on different aspects of what's going on in the culture today. And allow you to look at things from a slightly different view, which is going to change minds and change our concept of things. So, you know, I salute you for that and for what theater does for us.
I totally agree with that, Truman. That's what I was going to say, is that for me, theater gives me and people who are watching it an opportunity to walk in somebody else's shoes just for a little while, just to experience what it's like. But the other thing I love about theater, and that I think is so much more powerful than sitting at home and watching television or movies, is that it's a collective experience. We're all in it together, audience and actors. You can't have theater without an audience. And we all are experiencing what's going on the stage together. And it can change minds and it can change lives. I've seen it. It changed my life. It really, being in theater made me a different person than what I would have been otherwise. Because you meet so many people. It's such a diverse group of people that work in the theater. And because of the experiences of doing all of the many different types of plays that I've been involved in, you learn a lot. I think we can't survive without the arts. And I totally understand and agree that we have to feed people, we have to clothe them, we have to house them, we have to give them positive lives, we have to give them health insurance. But if you take away all the art in the world, it would be a bad thing. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to remember that. And that it's important as well.
Yeah. Maslow's hierarchy of need, you know, it works its way up that pyramid in my mind.
So. Very powerful. Yeah, thank you. And please stay on as we sort of carry on here a bit and move beyond Vachon Repertoire Theater and the Theater Fest. And I think we all applaud you for what you're doing, Charlotte and Susan, and pulling this all together. I mean, it's going to be a magnificent way to celebrate not only theater, but Vachon and the myriad of sort of talented people who live on this island. So kudos to both of you guys.
Thanks, Bruce and Truman and Craig. Thank you so much. I mean, you guys are so supportive of all the work that happens on the island, and I'm just really thankful for that. So great. Yeah.
So Craig, I wanted to ask you to pick up on what Susan was talking about. Do you think we have an activist, radical, right wing court at this point that's sort of moving beyond what your experience with constitutional law is?
Well, yeah, in the sense that it's the right wing side of it. Certainly, the Warren Douglas Court was accused of being that on the left back in the 60s. But I always kind of agreed with what they had to say. I think that the voting counts, and we found that out in the last, 4 to 8 to 12 years in terms of the makeup of the court. As I've said before, the Constitution and statutes, unfortunately or fortunately, cannot be oftentimes written in such a fashion that there is no interpretation. So what you have is you have justices that lean in a particular philosophy, and then they are given an opportunity to interpret. And that's what they have done within a broad range of possibilities. They, in many of these recent cases, have taken it to the far extreme. And I, in my lifetime, I haven't experienced anything like it. So
I'd like to ask both you, Craig and Bruce, do you see this court serving our general move away from democracy and into autocracy?
Bruce?
Right. Who wants to handle that? Not necessarily. I mean, you have to remember, I mean, go back to the 2000 election, when the Supreme Court stepped in and sort of was a major step in sort of the direction of the court supporting less than sort of national democratic interest, if you will. And my sense is, yes, this court I don't think it's the death knell of democracy. I think what it's doing is inching us back to the pre-Civil War concept of the law and the relationships of the states and the federal government. And you know, as I've said before, you know, Shelby Foote used to say that the Civil War was fought over a verb. Before the Civil War, it was the United States are. Afterwards, after the Civil War, it's the United States is. And the federal government exerted that dominance ever since. We're starting to see a pushback against that. And many of these decisions coming out of this court reflect decisions of the 1840s and 1850s that led to the Civil War. So my sense is, I mean, the court can't do it by itself, but it's certainly setting up a conflict between states' rights and federal rights that were was fought in the bloodiest war Americans have ever fought in, the Civil War, and most people thought was decided. And now that's coming into question again. Craig, I'd like to see what you think.
I agree. Although what I do see is it's not a straight, obviously it's not a straight line, or it's not a consistent line, let's put it that way. I see a fair amount of hypocrisy in the sense that we rely on state rights when we want it. We rely on federal rights when we want that to prevail. And you also run into the authoritative personalities that I think you see on the far right. And with the Catholic upbringing that I had, that I experienced all the way through parochial school, and that authoritative personality, I think, is starting to be reflected in the Supreme Court in terms of them, telling you what is right and wrong and taking a fairly righteous position on a number of issues, obviously abortion being the highlighted one right now. So I am concerned. I'm very concerned. I was hopeful. Maybe I was just dreaming, you know, when William O. Douglas was appointed. He was, the secretary of the Department of Commerce, I guess it was. And, he was thought of as a fairly conservative individual. And he surprised, and people surprise sometimes when they get on the Supreme Court. And I was hoping maybe we would see some surprises. I haven't seen any surprises.
No. the one thing I wonder about, Craig, speaking of that, is that how do they get away? I mean, can't you get them for perjury when they're saying... During the
confirmation hearing,
they were very careful in the wording.
Return Roe v. Wade.
Yeah, they're very careful in their wording in that regard. No, you wouldn't be able to get them for perjury.
Yeah,
for
because
that.
They didn't say basically no. They just said
no. They say it settled the precedent, right. But settled precedent is overturned from time to time. That the implication was obvious, mm-hmm. But that's not the way they went.
Right.
But no perjury. No, I don't see that happening.
If they'd have said no, absolutely no, then we could maybe. Right.
Yep. Yeah. But, that would have been, they wouldn't have done that.
They had that lawyerly response.
Exactly. Exactly.
How likely do you guys think we are looking at the potential for civil war with guns now being a lot more accessible and all the polarization, et cetera? Do you think we could actually have another civil war?
The shooting war?
It's certainly possible. My sense is it really will depend on what the military and the leaders of the military do and where they come down on these kind of decisions. I mean, it was very apparent to me as you watched, the end of the Trump presidency and all the craziness around January 6th, that the military leaders in the United States had pledged their allegiance to the Constitution and that they were going to basically back the Constitution, not any individual. And so that's the real, that will be the real test. And in 1860, a number of military people abandoned their commission, abandoned their oath to the United States and became traitors and fought for the Confederacy. Mm-hmm. That could happen. We're sort of running out of time. An issue to come back to.
Well, Michael Flynn, there you go.
Right. There's all kinds of people in the military, just like every place else. But I do want to thank you, Charlotte and Susan, for joining us, for telling us about Vashon Repertory Theater, incredible things that are going on this summer, the Theater Fest. And to Craig and Truman, thank you guys. We'll see you next week when the Brown Briefly returns with another small talk. But thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, nice job, Bruce. See you all next week.